Live from Hollywood, California, it's The Rick Savage Show.
It is The Rick Savage Show. I'm your host, Rick Savage. And I'm not feeling good. We're just going to start off the podcast with some honesty. We're not in a great spot here at the headquarters of The Rick Savage Show. You might hear some rain throughout this cast. You might hear some water dropping into some buckets. Because that's the world we're living in right now. We have a great apartment, and our office space is lovely for recording podcasts, and I was just about to set up a little corner to record some videos in, and then rain happened, and leaks happened, and now we have buckets set up across this office, and it was sealed, and then they redid drywall, they ripped off half the ceiling, redid all the drywall we're about to paint, and then it started leaking again from a different part of the ceiling. So now they have to come back with that giant humidifier machine. It's a whole scene here at the Rick Savage Show headquarters. And we are not happy. And hopefully there'll be a discount in our rent next month. That's what we've requested. All that a way of saying it might not be a very long podcast, but it's here because that's what we do. You know, we made a guarantee this season. It's really easy for me to slip into my head coach voice. You know, we worked hard all season long. And we're not going to let some road bumps slow us down now. Sure, there's rain. Yeah. But that's what we practice for. That's what we train for. Sure, there's buckets when I have to walk to the restroom. I know. I could juke left. I could juke right. That's what those drills are for. That's what Hell Week is for. But it's about believing in ourselves and working together as a team.
What if I just did the whole podcast like that? That would be incredible.
Anyways, sorry. Thanks for letting me vent. Let me get that out of the way. Congratulations to the Patriots. They won again because that's what the Patriots do. I lost money because only a dummy bets against Tom Brady. I was that guy. Not big money. Little money. Little money. I had the Rams and the over. Dumb. That bet was wasted by the end of the first quarter. I did have the national anthem going over 110 seconds, so that was nice. Shout out to Gladys Knight. She stretched that last. Ooh, it was close. If you bet the over on that one, that was close. Do you understand? You might, people that listen to this might not understand what an over is. In any sporting event, there's an over-under of the total points scored in the game. So, for example, the Super Bowl, I think the over, I think I got it at 56. So if the total score, doesn't matter who wins, but if the total score is over 56 points, I win my bet. They came nowhere near that. But I did win the over on the national anthem lasting 110 seconds. I took the over. And right around 100 seconds, I got a little nervous. But Gladys Knight, without the pips, it was just her. She was pipless. Gladys Knight stretched it out, so that was good. And what else did I, I lost the Gatorade. Damn it. You could bet on what color the Gatorade would be that the head coach was dumped on. I went with orange. Orange was a long shot. Orange was like plus 600. It was blue. And, I don't know if they figured out, the other bet I had was the winning quarterback in his post-game interview. Would he thank God first? Yes or no? And I took yes. And they interviewed Tom, and I don't think he thanked anyone. What are my other bets here? Let me look. Hold on. Yeah, I took Gurley as the MVP just because it was a super, super long shot. Obviously, that didn't hit. Over 110, the orange, and thanking God. So, lost about $20. Not the end of the world. I'll win it back. The website I use, I also play poker on. You know, I do all right on the sit-and-go tournaments. So, I'll win that back. Couple cute moments in the commercials. There's a couple feel-good commercials. You see the one where the coach was surprised by all the first responders that that saved his life? I love stuff like that. We caught that about halfway through, and I said to my girlfriend, I was like, we got to rewind that because I'm going to cry. I got to see it all. He was under the guise of giving kind of a motivational speech to first responders. This coach that was in a pretty gnarly car accident was speaking to them. And then when he was done, they all introduced themselves. And the first responders he was talking to were the people that actually saved his life. It was very sweet. There's a whole, I think it was a Verizon campaign. Is that right? They did a whole bunch of those. I love the feel-good stuff, man. That gets me every time. In fact, the Savage of the Week is a feel-good savage. It's a savage moment. It also makes you a little teary-eyed. And I can admit that. That's fine. I can be open with my emotions when it comes to TV moments that make me cry. That's going to be a feature someday. We're going to figure it out. I don't know if it's going to be video. I don't know if it's going to be on the YouTube. We're going to, someday, this clip made me cry. And the Savage of the Week will be one of those this week. It's very good. And then, of course, Maroon 5 played the halftime show, and people were bitching about it because, of course, they were. I don't really care about Maroon 5. Their music is fine. I mean, they write, like, pop rock songs. What did you expect? Radiohead? I mean, did you expect the NFL to book Tame Impala or some other very cool band? I was watching it, and as Twitter was ripping it apart, I just thought, like, this is kind of perfect. It's mainstream. It's safe. Everyone knows those songs. I was just impressed they had an actual rapper this year. Travis Scott came out and did, I think, two songs, both featuring Drake, which is hilarious. When you can't get Drake, just book Travis Scott because he'll play the songs that feature Drake's voice. So it's like getting Drake without him. And Travis Scott's a great choice. Super, super popular. A lot of hit songs. And it's kind of silly that it took this long. I mean, has a rapper, like a real rapper, performed at the halftime show before? Like, Kendrick's never done it, right? Maybe back in the day, Jay-Z did it, but it just feels like they've always been scared of rap, even though every locker room celebration is just Mo Bamba and other rap songs over and over and over. So good. So Travis Scott performs, and then Big Boy comes out because he's from Atlanta, and he does Kryptonite. And wasn't there a part where they said, I'm from Atlanta, ho? That's not very safe. You can't have kids singing, I'm from Atlanta, ho. Maybe it was a censored version. I couldn't tell. Either way, it was a fine halftime show. Who cares? Who gives a shit? People just love to rip apart Maroon 5. I'll defend Maroon 5 for a couple reasons. One, I've heard Adam Levine is a huge dick, but to me, I interviewed him once, and he was a sweetheart. It was at the very beginning of their album cycle, so he wasn't burnt out. It was one of the first interviews they had done, because when I was at Vivo, we booked them to play like a rooftop concert, so I interviewed them beforehand, and it was great. We did kind of like a track-by-track thing. We talked for like an hour, by the way, and he was lovely. It was fine. I have some friends that had not great experiences with him, but, oh, actually, you know what? I interviewed them twice. Both times they were fine. Great. Second, it was a little bittersweet, and I wasn't friends with Jordan, their old manager, but their manager passed away about a year ago now, Jonah Hill's older brother. They used to manage Maroon 5, and it was a little sad. Like, oh, I bet he would have really enjoyed seeing his band play the Super Bowl halftime show. So let's give Maroon 5 a pass. It's not that big of a deal. And also, okay, last thing. So a bunch of artists decided that they wouldn't play the Super Bowl halftime show for solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, which I think is great. I think that's a lovely decision to make, that if you're with Cap, that you don't want to support the NFL and you don't want them to make money off of you when, you know, whatever your beliefs are, for some reason, Kaepernick is not on a football team and he probably should be. Okay, cool. I get that. Cardi B was one of those artists. Cardi B was offered the Super Bowl halftime show. Cardi B has a huge song with Maroon 5, so it would have been perfect. They play a couple songs. She comes out and does her song with Maroon 5. Then she does her own song, then back to Maroon 5, and it's done. Would have been great. She said no. She's standing with Kaepernick. But then she was in Atlanta all week long doing private parties. I saw her at the New England Patriots like warm-up party dancing around with, what's his name, Kraft? Okay. So you're still getting the check. You're still supporting the NFL. You're still supporting the organization that is so aligned with Trump that Tom Brady wore a MAGA hat in the locker room, for Christ's sake. This was years ago. It's probably before he really realized what the MAGA hat meant. But nonetheless, it was in his locker when he's doing post-game interviews. So there's some sort of support there. But then Cardi B is going to go down to Atlanta and get that check to do a Patriots party? But she's with Cap? I don't know. I get it. Get your money. But, like, let's not pretend we're holier than thou, you know? Get the check. It's a little silly. It's all silly. None of it matters. That was Diet Coke there, if you heard the ice. I'm still doing the whole life challenge. Soda is not allowed. It was Super Bowl. I cheated. Had some Diet Coke today. Had my famous fried chicken. Not famous, but mine. And had some Diet Coke. And it was great. I finally got a really good spicy chicken recipe. I've been trying to do the Nashville. I think Nashville is played out now. There's a bunch of Nashville hot chicken spots in LA. I think I'm going to open up like Ricky's Spicy Fried Chicken, but not Nashville. This is like West Hollywood Fried Chicken. WeHo. WeHo Fried Chicken. I kind of jokingly said on Instagram, like, I'm going to open a fried chicken truck. And then several people wrote back and was like, you should absolutely do that. We'll see. Maybe that'll be the plan for 2019. Trying to do all these creative things, do the podcast, do comedy stuff. Well, maybe I'll add fried chicken in the mix too. Why not? Here's another thing that happened that you might have missed if you don't care about Instagram or Twitter. And congratulations to you if you don't. I'm a little jealous, to be candid. How do I explain this? So on Instagram, a few years ago, there was an account called Fuck Jerry. J-E-R-R-Y. Guy's name's not Jerry, but it was just called Fuck Jerry. And it got very popular. It's got millions of followers. And all it does is repost other people's content. What they'll do is they'll look on Twitter and they'll find a funny tweet, take a screenshot of it, and then throw that on their Instagram account. And sometimes they would tag or credit the person that came up with it. But a lot of times they didn't. And that's what that fat Jewish guy got in trouble for too. He was another very popular Instagrammer, still is. And he would post content that he would find, repost it, I guess, is more accurate. And many times would not tag or credit the person that created it. Which is kind of a silly internet thing. It's not the end of the world. But then these accounts started making lots of money off of these posts. And so there was a backlash with Fat Jewish, I don't know, about 2 years ago now. He sold a TV show to Comedy Central, and that's when a lot of the comedians spoke up and said, hey, if you're giving this guy a TV show for just stealing our stuff, we need to boycott or whatever. And then they canceled the TV show. So it worked. Well, now just recently, with this Fyre Festival documentary that I talked about in the last episode, hopefully you've seen by now, it's incredible, these Fuck Jerry guys are now a huge social media agency that giant brands hire to do marketing campaigns. And it was all built on the fact that this guy just stole other people's work. And again, I know how silly it is to like say, hey, I tweeted that joke first. And if it wasn't money, I understand. But now you're kind of stealing someone else's credit and then making money off of it. Well, then this Fyre Festival documentary came out. And frankly, I think just everyone saw that these guys were douchebags. Even the guy that used to work for the company was like, yeah, these dudes suck. And they were just stealing other people's content and making money. And then they got involved with Fyre Festival and were somewhat involved in at least creating the campaign and the buzz behind it. I guess their defense was, hey, we didn't know how poorly it was being managed. We were just doing the marketing, but nonetheless, they were involved. And so now there's a huge backlash against them. And all these comedians and a lot of like Huffington Post and BuzzFeed and a lot of places are picking it up. And they're encouraging everyone to unfollow the account. And it's great. And it dawned on me that this is the equivalent of a one-hit wonder. I imagine if you're a struggling band and some, you know, who's a good one-hit wonder? Smash Mouth. Hold on. Let me look up. Let's see if this works. This will be great. She never knows stuff. Hey Siri, when did All Star by Smash Mouth come out?
All Star by Smash Mouth came out on May 4th, 1999.
99. Okay, who was like a good punk rock band in 99 that was like trying to get some money? That was right before Blink blew up, right? Didn't Enema of the State come out back then? Wow. Rabbit holes. Doesn't matter. My point being, Fuck Jerry is Smash Mouth. Fuck Jerry is Vanilla Ice. There you go. If you were a credible hip-hop artist in 1989 or whenever Vanilla Ice came out and then he exploded and you were so upset and jealous, but it's a one-hit wonder. Then he crashed, and that's all Fuck Jerry is. These people don't last. If you're not producing real content, if you're not doing something original, if you're not trying to create something, it's not going to last. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. You can't Milli Vanilli this shit anymore. People will see through it. So they did. They made it for a while. They got a couple bucks. They created a little agency. But now the backlash, no one gives a shit about those guys anymore. No big company's going to hire them. And I don't want to cheer for their downfall, but kind of fuck them, you know? Oh, here's a late-breaking story that I don't fully understand. ICE arrests rapper 21 Savage. You know ICE? Like abolish ICE? ICE. ICE arrests rapper 21 Savage, alleging he was born in England and has been in the U.S. illegally since 2006. The Grammy nominee has long said he's from Atlanta. So I tweeted, our family reunion is going to be awkward. Because both of our last names are Savage. I mean, his last name isn't. It's obviously his stage name. His first name isn't 21 and his last name is Savage. But for my joke to work about the family reunion, that's what you understand what I mean. How do you fake it this long? I don't know if you guys know what 21 Savage looks like. If you do, this is very confusing. He doesn't strike me as a Londoner. He doesn't reek of the UK. ICE says the rapper, whose real name is, I'm going to screw this up, Shayabin, S-H-A-Y-A-A-B-I-N, Shayabin Abraham Joseph, is a citizen of the UK. The agency alleges that he entered the U.S. legally in July 2005 when he was a minor, but subsequently failed to depart under the terms of his non-immigrant visa. He became unlawfully present when his visa expired in July 2006. As the lawyer said, we're working diligently to get Mr. Abraham Joseph out of detention while we work with the authorities to clear up any misunderstandings. That's so weird. He's British? He doesn't sound British. Do you know what 21 Savage looks like? I'm looking at a photo. He's kind of, he's a scary looking dude. He definitely looks like he could do some damage. He has, in between his eyebrows, he has a tattoo that looks like a cross. And someone was interviewing him and said, why do you have a cross tattooed on your forehead? And he said, it's a knife. Okay. And then he named his album, It's a Album. He's very savage. He definitely lives up to the Savage name more than I do. But evidently, he's going to be deported. Sorry, 21 Savage. Now it's just me and Fred. Me, Fred, and Ben holding it down. Randy Macho Man passed away a few years ago, so I'm scrolling through Twitter to see what else you may have missed over the last week. Did you see the story about the governor of Virginia? This hurts. It hurts because he's a Democrat. It also hurts because he's such a dummy. Such a dummy. Evidently, a photo surfaced from his medical school yearbook back in like 84. You remember in yearbooks, some of them where you get a whole page to yourself? I remember in ours, we had little sections at the end and you can put in like inside jokes and stuff. And some of them, smaller schools, I guess, you get kind of a whole page. So on his page, he had his name across the top. And then it had a photo of him looking cool leaning against a car. And then maybe like a sports photo or something. And then there was a photo on the right side of the page of two gentlemen. And one was in complete blackface. And one was under a KKK robe. In a yearbook. In a medical school yearbook. oh my God, how did that even happen? But okay, so that happened. So then that surfaced, and obviously there was outrage saying, hey, you dressed up in blackface. And then at first he said, I really regret doing that. And then by the next day he said, oh, you know what? It wasn't me. There's no way to tell if that was me in blackface or under the KKK robe. We're going to use facial recognition software to figure it out. So you're already done at that point. That's a wrap. For some reason, he thought, and no one could talk him out of it, it would be a good idea to hold a press conference to talk about this as it was ongoing. And throughout that press conference, he said, hey, that wasn't me in blackface in that photo. But just to get ahead of it, when another story leaks, I did, what did he say, partially darken my face for a Michael Jackson dance contest. So his defense was, oh, that wasn't me in the photo in blackface. I did blackface a different time, though. Okay. And then he said, I know that wasn't me in blackface because I know how hard it is to remove shoe polish from your face. How do you know how hard that is, bro? Okay. So that's number two. And then the kicker, the real bonus, the gift that we didn't ask for, but happy we received, was some fucking reporter, which I would love to make fun of them asking this question, but it turned out to be the best question. He said, oh, you mentioned you were in a Michael Jackson competition and you did the moonwalk. Can you still do the moonwalk? And this son of a bitch, this dude, the governor of Virginia, who's doing a press conference trying to justify why he could still be governor, even though he wore blackface evidently several times, looked around him to see if there was enough room to do the moonwalk. He literally kind of took a step back from the podium, looked down to his right, looked down to his left, and then thank God for his wife. Thank God for smart, badass women. And she goes, inappropriate circumstances. And then he kind of looked at her and was like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's inappropriate to do that. So I'm not going to do the moonwalk. Could you imagine the video? If this dumb mother did the moonwalk and that was the clip running on the news, governor accused of wearing blackface does moonwalk. So yeah, bro, you have to resign now. That's a wrap. If the Democrat, and by the way, I don't think any Democrat is saying he shouldn't resign. I think they're all kind of aligned here that that's inappropriate and you've lost the trust of your constituents in Virginia. So that's a wrap. It is kind of funny that there's lots of Republicans saying he should resign. And I've never been so offended. We're just going to look the other way on the dude in the White House. But yeah, the Virginia governor, you got to go, bro. Al Franken had to go. Al Franken kissed a girl he shouldn't have. And maybe pinched a rear end or two. That's it. That's a wrap. You can't do that. Can't represent people if they can't trust you. That sucked too. Remember how great Al Franken was? And he said, yeah, I did it. And I could try to justify it. I could try to explain. This one time it happened was in a comedy sketch. And this other time, whatever. Nope. That's it. Political career done. These things matter. Can't do shit like that and then represent the people. So, Northam, Virginia governor, that's it. That's a wrap. You're done. Get out. Okay, so I do need to admit, you know, do you ever listen to All Things Considered, the show on NPR? When they get hate mail, they read it on the air and acknowledge if mistakes were made or just other points of view. And I need to take a second and do that. Because last week, I made an offhanded comment about Lin-Manuel Miranda and his rapping ability. And more than one person, but really two individuals, very explicitly pointed out that the clip of the song that I played, which, by the way, was 100% random. I just flipped through to a song and played a clip, and it was embarrassingly bad rapping. Well, evidently, the part that I focused on was not Lin-Manuel Miranda. In fact, I was told, Greg, thank you, that the part of the song that I played, it was actually a part of the play where they were, I guess, kind of freestyling, and it wasn't even supposed to be good. It was kind of supposed to be bad off-the-cuff rapping. So maybe I'm the sucker. I fell for it. That is bad. So you accomplished your goal. But that wasn't Lin-Manuel. Okay, so this song is called Aaron Burr, Sir. I think it's track 2 on the soundtrack. And in the lyrics, shout out to Apple Music when they show the lyrics. That's awesome. I don't work there anymore, so that's a sincere shout out. I can shout out for other reasons that I'm not a fan of the product, but thumbs up on the lyrics. In the first verse, he says, "I'm Alexander Hamilton." And Lin-Manuel obviously plays Hamilton, right? It'd be weird if he didn't. It's called Hamilton, and he wrote the thing. So I'm going to assume that this is going to be him rapping right off the jump. Let's see. And we'll decide if this is good rapping or not.
Okay. He handles the financials.
You punched the bursar.
Yes, I wanted to do what you did, graduate in 2 and join the revolution. He looked at me like I was stupid. I'm not stupid. So how'd you do it? How'd you graduate so fast?
It was my parents' dying wish before they passed.
All right. Okay. I don't know how to feel about this. Because even just the lyrical flow there was very impressive. But he just sounds like not cool. You kind of have to sound cool to be a good rapper. Is that fair to say? You kind of have to have a cool voice and you kind of have to have a cool flow. And I don't, he just sounds like a nerd. Okay, a little more, just a little more.
Talking, let me offer you some free advice. Talk less.
What?
Smile.
Oh, I recognize more. This. Yeah.
Don't let them know what you're against.
This is like the main theme, right? For. Or the hit.
You can't be serious.
You wanna get ahead.
Yes.
Fools who run their mouths off wind up dead.
Yo, what time is it? Showtime.
Oh, wait.
Guys.
Is this the same song I played last week? I just skipped the part. Okay, that's what happened. I'm leaving all this in. I'm not editing any of it. I don't give a fuck. So last week, evidently, I played this song. That's why I recognized the talk less, smile more part. No, it's still not good. It's still not good. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's cheesy and lame and goofy, and that's fine. It's a Broadway production. It's not supposed to be Kendrick Lamar. But guys, let's not equate it to Kendrick Lamar. It's like the Green Day Broadway play. It was called American Idiot, obviously. I saw that when it was on Broadway still, 10 years ago? I don't know, long time ago. And I was super embarrassed and didn't really enjoy it because it was a very cheesy version of amazing Green Day songs. Now, the people that were in the crowd that didn't know Green Day loved it. It got great reviews. The kids that I was sitting around that, like me, grew up loving the band, not a fan. It was cheesy and lame and like they all, I remember there's a Green Day song where the big, like the loud is like, "Fuck you." And the whole musical like turned to the crowd and lifted up their middle fingers and it was just, and it was so lame and trying so hard. That's what Hamilton is to hip hop. That's all. It's still great production. It's still a great story. It's still well written. It's just not good hip hop. I don't know if that redeemed me at all to the people that were not happy with my Hamilton take. Sorry, guys. I'm sticking by it. He can't rap. And his goatee's weird. Maybe that's it. I just don't like his goatee. And I'm ripping apart something he probably spent 10 years working on. Who am I to say? Okay. I think that's it, guys. Oh, wait. Hold on. It's not over yet. I just got a text back from my buddy Greg, who is one of the, you know, Hamilton defenders. I said, what is a good example of Lin's rapping ability? He said, the first one that comes to mind is probably My Shot. He actually doesn't have a ton of raps in the show. What? What do you mean he doesn't have a ton of raps in the show? That's the whole shit, isn't it? My Shot. Okay. Oh, track three. Good. It's right there. No, if that's him, it's not good. No, dude. Nope. I'm out. I gave it a chance. It's not good. It's cheesy. It's lame. Okay, Savage of the Week.
What a fucking savage!
I'm a savage.
Fucking what a savage.
I'm a savage.
Savage with a cool savage.
They like Savage. Why you got a 12-car garage and you only got 6 cars?
Something about you turns me to a savage.
Okay, Savage of the Week. We're going to jump right into it. It's a minute and a half long, but I'm going to play the whole thing. If you haven't seen it, I hope the audio does it justice. If not, go on the internet and find this clip of Ellen Page on the Stephen Colbert Show, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. She was promoting her new show on Netflix, and then, you know, the conversation kind of got into politics a little bit, and she was riled up. If we were watching the video together, I would be hiding my eyes because they might tear a little bit. Ellen Page.
Sorry, I'm like...
Not at all.
I'm like really fired up tonight,
This is how you have to be fired up.
It feels
up.
Impossible to you not feel to fi- this way right now with the president and the vice president, Mike Pence, who like wishes I couldn't be married. Let's just be clear. The vice president of America wishes I didn't have the love with my wife. He wanted to ban that in Indiana. He believes in conversion therapy. He has hurt LGBTQ people so badly as the government of Indiana, and I think the thing we need to know, and I hope my show Gaycation did this, in terms of connecting the dots, in terms of what happened the other day to Jussie, I don't know him personally, I sent all of my love. Connect the dots. This is what happens. If you are in a position of power and you hate people and you want to cause suffering to them, you go through the trouble. You spend your career trying to cause suffering. What do you think is going to happen? Kids are going to be abused and they're going to kill themselves. And people are going to be beaten on the street. I have traveled the world and I have met the most marginalized people you could meet. I am lucky to have this time and the privilege to say this. This needs to stop.
I like that at the end, Stephen Colbert just leaned over and gave her a handshake. Also didn't interrupt her. Let the pauses just kind of speak. That's so great. I think if she was on Jimmy Fallon, you know, he would have been trying to interject or lighten the mood. But Colbert just let it happen. And it was a very earnest moment, and the crowd gave her a standing applause, and clip kind of went viral. It's a good thing to remember. There are people in power that hate citizens of our country right now. That's insane. That needs to end. Donate to It Gets Better. It's a lovely organization. I can't recommend it enough. Watch Ellen's show, Gaycation. It was on Vice. Great show. Very important stories. Juno was a long time ago for Ellen Page, huh? Remember that movie? Hey, by the way, just to lighten it up here on the end, that movie does not hold up. It was on TV the other day and it was so bad. Because it was such a like mid-2000s way of speaking and everything was so like melodramatic and over the top. And it was cute in 2005 or whenever it came out and it's very bad now. So Juno doesn't really hold up. Ellen Page, as a very important member of our society, holds up. I love her. She's the best.
What a fucking savage!
Okay, I think that's it. Let's wrap up there. Maybe next week I'll have the real microphone set up again. Audio might be a little better, might be a video product. Maybe not. The rate this is going, we're going on a month now. Better fix it, guys. Leave a rating if you could. Leave a review if you could. Tell your friends about the podcast if you could. We need to start building back up some numbers. Every time I have a big episode, the next couple episodes, it takes a while to get those numbers back up. So help a brother out doing this shit for free. You know what I'm saying? There's no Patreon. I don't expect you to pay $5 a month for this. Just tell your friends, okay? Have a great week. Stay out of trouble. And we'll talk to you next Monday. See you later. Bye.
This is the Rick Savage Show.
Lowe's makes it easy for pros like you to save even more on the supplies you need, like great deals going on during our Hitachi clearance event. Hitachi's now Metabo HPT. Same tools, new name, means big savings for you. Plus, save 20% every day on in-stock GAF or Owens Corning shingles when purchased by the pallet. And for a limited time, you can get an additional 5% off all categories with custom quotes of $1,000 or more. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Shingle selection varies by location. 5% offer valid in-store only through 10/4. Visit your pro desk for details. U.S. only.